Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Geno, they rush four. Pressure coming, takes a shot to the end zone. Popped up in the air, intercepted for the third time. A touchback.
I think Derwin tipped it.
Derwin definitely tipped it. And Dante Jackson comes down with it.
Thank you to the Chargers Radio Network. Yes, one of three interceptions that the Chargers had on Geno Smith last night. Chargers win 20-9. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We'll get to some of these quarterback injuries that you have to know about before week three in just a moment. But Pearl, are you convinced that the Chargers and the Raiders, two teams that have tried to really sell you hard that, hey, things are different now. We're not chargering anymore. Justin Herbert and Jim Harbaugh is going to be a marriage that gets them maybe both into the Hall of Fame. Or the Raiders bringing in Pete Carroll, Chip Kelly, Tom Brady in the booth last night. Even overseeing things that the Raiders have turned a corner or changed at all. Are you buying that at all with either of these teams?
So I think the Raiders are exactly who we thought they were. They had a 7.5 win total coming into the season. They're going to win 7.5 games.
Somehow.
They're basically a combination
of... The Bears are who we thought they were.
They're a combination of what we've seen in the Raiders the last 5 years combined with Pete Carroll's Seahawks. They are going to be... battling in every game. They are just completely average. I think they have Max Crosby. God bless that guy because he's turned a no-name defense into a factor. Everyone just sort of feeds off him. So they're okay on defense and they're just okay on offense. I just don't see any chance of them being special. That's what my answer is. And I don't see any chance of them being terrible like they've been in the past. So I think they're just like sort of right in the middle.
I was hoping this would look a little different, especially with Geno Smith, who's never afraid to throw it to anywhere on the field. And we saw that last night, unfortunately, with the three interceptions and no touchdown passes. But, you know, week one against the Patriots, and I know that's the Patriots, but it is a Mike Vrabel team. Explosive plays, not tons of points, but you know, really 9 different plays of 20 plus yards. It was like the offense was moving.
Tua did the same exact thing to them, though.
I know.
And he's not playing well at all.
Well, that's the problem. I kind of was fooled a little bit maybe by that first game, and the Chargers defense is certainly legit. And Geno just really could not, there was nothing vertical happening last night. Very little. It was all going side to side. And to be honest, Ashton Jeanty was not awesome either. 11 carries for 43 yards. It was bottled up.
Yeah, it didn't have anywhere to really go, but he kind of looked small last night. It just didn't look right. You know, part of it is they don't have any receivers. Like, who's their burner they're going to?
Well, I guess it's Jacoby Meyer. I don't know. They're a little short, especially with Brock Bowers banged up.
I know they love the rookie out of Tennessee, but still... like, they're definitely thin on offense. That's why I think you have to give them 2 years, Maggie. Like, to build this winning culture, it's build. I don't think you could expect them to be there right now with this new coaching staff. I think it'll take steps to be good. And I think this is, like, they're going from step one to step two this year. I had lower expectations coming in. If they don't make the playoffs, there's no shame in that. They were terrible last year. At least they're competitive now.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a multi-year process, though, and I'm not trying to be ageist, but Pete Carroll's birthday was yesterday. He's now 74. I mean, he...
Yes, I know what you're talking about, but for Tom Brady being a partial owner, and I think that's part of what we're talking about here, that's going to be a multi-year process. He doesn't have to win immediately. I think he just doesn't want them to be the worst losers.
Yeah, you know, we'll get to the Chargers aspect of this, too, because this could have been a potential chargering spot, and to their credit, they did not. make those signature mistakes that at times we've been used to the Chargers doing. And Justin Herbert now look really good through two games. The defense is ferocious, even though they lost Khalil Mack pretty early on the first half to a elbow injury. He came back out and it was in a sling. But quickly about Brady. So Tom Brady, who we know is a minority owner of the Raiders, we weren't really sure how much influence he was having on the team, though. I always thought a little, Pearl. You thought not so much. Like
I didn't think I didn't think he was making the draft picks, where I think you were on the different side of the spectrum. You thought he was really hands-on on the draft picks.
I really did. I thought he was having conversations about how the team was going to go and just kind of had his finger a little bit in everything with his fingerprints, I should say, on everything with the Raiders. Last night, it was a little shocking to see him 10 feet away from Chip Kelly in the offensive coordinator booth with a headset on. Yeah. And not just a headset like, oh, I can listen to what's happening. A headset with a microphone attached. Like, I can also talk to somebody. I don't know who, but at least I would think Chip Kelly sitting in front of him. And I'm going to be a factor here. First, it made me kind of angry at first, like kind of on behalf of the other teams in the AFC West. I'm like, Brady just did the Chiefs-Eagles game. He's getting access to information that regular people don't have, normal people don't have. And is that a competitive advantage in some ways for him now funneling that information back to the Raiders? Like, Brady's competitive as anybody. And so it made me kind of mad about that, like on behalf of other teams. And then also, you know, what was he the one who decided that Ashton Jeanty should be the pick? And if so, that was maybe not the right move.
I mean, come on. You think that Tom Brady made that pick? Who is a coach who wants to run the ball and play defense and has drafted used high draft picks on running backs again and again and again? Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
Remember Rashad Penny? This is a glitzier version of Rashad Penny. Remember, I think he took
Marshawn
Kenneth Walker
Lynch
in the second round.
Was a trade. The Bills took him high.
But I'm just saying, like, toward the end, Pete's like, I need to establish a running game, so I'm going to take a running back high. When everyone knows to get a running game, you need an offensive lineman, they kind of mess up that pick. I'm ready to go there after 2 weeks. And I love Ashton Jeanty. And I think there was a guy, he trucked a guy last night, too. He's awesome. But they really shouldn't have gone there. I personally would have gone with a burner on the outside. Mm. I mean, you saw Mecca Buka in the game before, he looks amazing. Ted Rowe McMillan actually looks amazing on a terrible Panthers team. Or at least go lineman because they need some help there. But they actually invested a lot in that line. So the point is you've got to build in the trenches or at least have a Jamar Chase type on the outside. What they have now, their offense doesn't feel like it has the weapons, Maggie.
No, not a lot of juice after week one. And Chip Kelly, I know, really frustrated EJ and Perloff watching him with Ohio State last year. And last night was a bit frustrating. Although you do have to give credit to the Chargers. I just wonder if this was like something because we're so locked in on this every single day. But if you're a fan out there, just a football fan, you're watching that game. Did you have a problem with Tom Brady? By the way, Tom would go to the opening of an envelope right now. It's almost like he took less money with the Patriots all those years, and it's like he's making it all back up now post-playing days. It's not just the broadcasting. He's with, like, Fanatics. He's doing an interview with a Saudi sheik because he's going over to Saudi Arabia to play flag football with other stars of the league. And by the way, did not rule out being the quarterback for the flag football team for the Olympics in 2028.
That makes sense.
He's going to be 50.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the Olympics. Like, you know who's in a... Isn't there a former NBA player who's a super elite flag football quarterback? You guys heard this story?
A former NBA player is a flag football star?
Yes. I'm being serious. Like, the flag quarterbacks are way different than you think they are.
Is this like...
Is this Michael Beasley by chance?
No, Matt... What's his face? Who played at UCLA, who played basketball and played football.
Oh, Rajon Rondo.
Rondo says he's really good.
Oh, no, man. I saw highlights. He's amazing.
Is that who you have in mind?
No, yeah, Rajon Rondo.
Who's the guy who played at UCLA who's now a podcaster? Up in smoke.
Matt Barnes.
Yeah, didn't he play football for UCLA also? I think he did.
Skinny Matt Barnes played football?
I thought so. Anyway,
I think and then I've seen there's just like a goat flag. Tom Brady could definitely at 50 be the flag football quarterback. It's flag football.
Right.
It's the Olympics. Like, who's he going against? Name a foreign quarterback.
Do we need Tom Brady? to win a gold medal of flag football?
Flag football. Anybody can play. Might as well pull Tom Brady.
I don't know who's starting for France. You're right.
There's no other.
Touché.
There's no foreign quarterback. Is there any?
No, but you're going to have to go like heritage, you know? I'm assuming guys like they do with the World Baseball Classic. Right. You don't have to have been born in that country to compete for that country.
Yeah, like Fred Warner has a Mexican flag on the back of his helmet.
What's his name? Jaden Daniels, his grandparents are Japanese. We learned that over the weekend.
So we know who the Japanese quarterback will
be.
You think Jaden Daniels is playing for Team Japan in the Olympics?
Give him a big check, maybe.
I mean, why not, right?
They got Jaden Daniels, then we need Tom Brady.
Now that, I guess I would be in favor if somehow Japan is fielding a team with Jaden Daniels.
You know that famous, famous Anthony Edwards quote where he's like, you know, they got KD, but we got Jaden McDaniels. That's basically what Japan's going to be like.
I mean, the rest of the country.
We got Jaden Daniels.
The rest of the country is going to present a team like there's going to be seven punters coming up against. Like, it's the only thing they do, kick and punt, right? And then there's like the occasional Sebastian Vollmer. Well, the Australian rules guys, like, no, this is, anybody can play flag football. Manny could be the quarterback and we could win gold, right?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You got that right, brother. You got that right. I'll lead us to victory. Don't you worry, America.
Let's start getting some win sprints out of Manny. I just think that, you know, it's funny about Tom. And by the way, just like the Saudis in general just have completely taken over sports. If you watched at all the Terrence Crawford, Canelo Alvarez fight, you had the Sheik right there at the best seat, sitting right next to Dana White.
Yeah, it's going to be...
Let alone live and all that stuff.
I give it less than 10 years. Turki Alashek is going to own everything.
He's the sheik?
Yes, he's the guy. He's the man that's making everything happen. His excellency.
Yeah, let's put some respect. He, and also didn't WWE just announce?
Yep, and he was a big part of that. WWE WrestleMania in 2027 in Saudi Arabia. Thanks to, again, his excellency, Turki Alashek.
I hate being poor.
He's making everything happen. This guy is... When I saw him stand next to Tom Brady, I was like, oh, he's got that kind of juice.
That is crazy, right?
It's insane.
Dana White and Jason Statham is one thing. Bringing Tom Brady, I know Ronaldo plays over there, right? But, like, you got Tom Brady out there promoting flag football in Saudi Arabia?
I mean, I learned yesterday that Canelo Alvarez apparently made $75 million to fight Terrence Crawford. So I'm like, oh, that's why that fight happened.
Man, Canelo Alvarez was in such a good mood after that fight.
I would be, too, after I got $75 million on my back.
I thought it was 100 too. He got 100 from DAZN. Yeah, back in the day. But imagine you got 100 million.
Huh, solve a lot of my problems.
I mean, he's probably got a lot in the bank already.
Oh, no, Canelo Alvarez. But boxers always, boxers have a bad tendency of going broke.
I'm curious, why does Tom Brady need all this money? He's already got the Raiders. Like, he's selling everything possible. Like, he's selling, like, come have a catch with me for $23,000.
Like, I'll show up at your wedding or bar mitzvah for 50 like, G's.
Okay.
He's already got that Raiders ownership. Like, well, I know LeBron wants to buy a team, so he's sort of trying to raise money.
I think that's probably it.
But Brady's got a team.
No, but I mean, maybe one where he wants to be the principal owner? I have no idea. He's LeBron. A 10% owner now, or maybe less. But do you remember the summer... Fanatics Fest was here, and you and I went over there, and WFN was there, and everything. And we're like, is Tom Brady getting a personal cut of every person who walks through the door?
Because he's saying hi to everybody.
He was the main attraction at this thing, and I was with arm's length of the guy.
Yeah, and everybody seemed to be able to talk to. Yeah, I mean, I really don't understand what he's doing. Isn't he? He's got to kind of focus here on one job.
What, the color commentator spot? I don't think that matters.
Well, he's not. He doesn't seem focused on that. He doesn't really seem to be totally focused on the Raiders because he's doing appearances 4 out of 7 days a week. Maybe he should just quit everything and work for the Raiders. Be like the GM.
I mean, they could use him. Lost last night 20-9 to the Chargers. Maybe
that's kind of what bothers me about this is that I feel like it's almost like. This gives him kind of plausible deniability to whatever failures the Raiders have. Because he can say, well, I'm just a minority owner and I'm not actually involved. Meanwhile, we see him with a headset in the coaching booth. Like, if he becomes, like Perloff said, if he becomes the general manager or the president, like, that puts him more in the crossfire, right? He has to answer the media. He has to answer questions about the team. Like, now he can kind of, like, hide behind the shadow of, like, well, I'm just a broadcaster who's just kind of dialing in every now and then. I kind of wish he would just be the president of the Raiders.
Yeah, right. Like, pick a lane.
Yeah. Like, Magic Johnson, like, he became the president of the Lakers, and it was an embarrassment. But he did it. Like, he did it. He didn't, like, shy away and being like, I'm a broadcaster. Like, he tried. Like, I'd rather Tom Brady do that than do this thing.
I wonder if, let's be real, I wonder if last night had any implications for the league.
Well, Schrager's report that he talks to Chip Kelly 2 to 3 times a week. It was Schrager, right, who had that report on the sideline, I believe.
Yes, because he had the Raiders side.
Yeah, that he talks 2 to 3 times a week became a talking point that he got asked, that Pete Carroll got asked about after the game. Bogish played that sound for us last hour about...
I think it was the visual of Tom Brady with the headset and the graphic saying head coach's room or coach's room.
Yeah.
I think the NFL is not going to like that. I think that they're going to be embarrassed by that because they just changed the rule to let him do the in-game... the pregame interviews. They just did that like a month ago.
They gave him more access.
Yeah, they did that like 4 weeks ago. So I think this is, there are owners who are going to be like, this is not going
Can
to
Can you imagine
continue.
Being like the assistant Titans coach? This is your first NFL job and you're up in the upper deck of the thing and the guy in the suit sits next to you, puts on a headset and it's Tom Brady. All right, like, whoa, welcome to the big leagues. Well, also, is this normal?
When you're in the press box, sometimes a GM sits right next to you.
Yep. Yeah.
That is amazing. Like, so you'd be sitting there, like, taking notes or something, and then the Washington GM is like, sits right next to you, and it's like, whoa.
Oh, I remember I would say this if he was sitting right here. I maybe have even told him this story. Being in you and I were together for this, I think, in Pittsburgh for the AFC Championship game when the Jets played the Steelers. 2010.
I was not at that game.
You were not at that game?
Yeah.
Sorry. Sitting, Mike Tannenbaum. And he was the GM of the Jets at the time, and he's sitting in the press box. Like, Tom Coughlin used to sit in the press box when he was with the Jags, all that stuff. And he just starts slamming his fist down on the desk about to lose. Like, he's having a meltdown because the press box, believe it or not, is silent to, you could hear a pin drop because you're not allowed to cheer in the press box. Yeah.
Journalism.
Yeah.
You often do hear somebody with the team yelling, though.
Sometimes you do, but he was just like, I don't even want to do it here. I'm afraid I'll like ruin our equipment.
Please don't.
He was having like a meltdown.
He's going Donkey Kong basically on the desk.
It was rough.
I had a great game. I sat next to Doug Williams when he was the GM of the Washington, formerly Redskins. And he was not intense at all.
Oh, you were chatting him up?
Oh my God. He was telling me everything. And he was so laid back.
That's cool.
Actually, I don't know if he was vice president or GM, but that was great. You know, when I first started doing this, one of the first people I ever sat next to that was famous. I'm sitting there and it's like me and some scrub and Tiki Barber sits next to me. It was awesome.
Foreshadowing.
Coworker. And Tiki had just retired. It was 2007. And he was buttoned up in this tie. And you know what's funny? Tiki might be the nicest person I ever met. Didn't say a word to me the entire game. Literally did not speak to me.
Did you say hi?
Nah, not really.
Did you say you're an Eagle fan?
No, not at all. But can you picture that? Like, Tiki didn't talk to me.
He's
like
everybody.
The chattiest guy in our entire office.
He's literally the nicest guy.
I think you were a stranger, though. So that's probably why he didn't say anything. I feel like if he would have seen you a second time, he definitely would have said something.
That's true.
If I had said, hi, my name's Andrew, I think he would have been very nice.
No, definitely.
Didn't introduce yourself first.
No, I didn't say anything to him. I was kind of
starstruck.
I was just like, you kind of feel like you're a nobody in the media room a lot of times, especially when you are a nobody.
Yeah.
It just reinforces your nobodiness.
But then something changed for me. Yeah. When I got on the Dan Patrick Show and I was on TV, then things changed in the media room.
Yeah.
Then I walked around, it's like, I know you, or
it's
I know
McLovin.
You. And then even some of the players were like, are you on TV? Like, yes, you know what I'm talking about, Maggie. Like, same thing with you, probably. Like, people, but especially when you went to the New York radio, I'm sure the image in the media room changed.
Well, maybe a few more friends. But what I made sure that I did when I was working at local radio in New York is when I criticize somebody, like, especially pretty harshly, which is the job, you know, I would go to the game that day, that next, whatever I could get to the next time, I would go into the locker room. So, like, you know, if I'm going to be really critical of the Jets linemen, like, I'm going to go in there. I have no idea if they know who I am or not, but the PR people do, and I don't want to ever seem like I'm ducking the smoke. Same thing with the Mets and Yankees. Just very much wanted to not be somebody who's hiding behind a microphone. It's a little harder with this job because if I'm criticizing Chip Kelly today, I can't exactly
go, fly out to Vegas,
go to a Raider practice and show my face. But I made sure to do that in the local market.
It's weird. So you made sure you show yourself the Jets, the Mets, the Yankees, the Giants. What's the team that you could not show your face in the locker room?
to be fair, I used to go to a lot of Knicks games.
You
and I used to go to the locker room all the time.
Unless you got too critical, the team banned you for life.
Well, that's
the New York Knicks, damn
what
it.
What happened. But I just got too critical of one person who doesn't suit up for the team. But no, I went to a lot of Knicks games. I'd go in the locker room and talk to the guys, although at that point they weren't very good. I remember being at a Knicks game when Giannis dunked on Tim Hardaway.
Oh, I remember that night, yeah.
Jumped over him.
Yeah.
Never seen anything like it before.
Go Knicks.
And I went to the locker room and people asked Tim Hardaway a couple questions, walked away, and I was like, hey, man, I got to ask you, like, what happened? And he's like, that was crazy, wasn't it? Even he didn't have an answer for it. No, I used to go to the Knicks all the time.
Tim Hardaway Jr.
Actually, when I got banned from the Knicks, just Madison Square Garden in general, but from the Knicks, I used to actually go to every Nets-Knicks game because then I could actually get into the Knicks locker room and where I could still be available because they were at a different arena.
They were in Brooklyn at that point? Okay.
Yeah.
Go Knicks.
You said you didn't go out to Brendan Byrne Arena in New Jersey. That's a road too far.
The Izod Center.
I was covering high school sports when they were
when
playing
out there.
When did that happen?
I don't even remember. It was 2007?
That was like, what, 20... Well, I don't want to say 2014, 2015.
Something like that. But anyway.
Yeah, it was the year after Melo joined Knicks. And then the year after, I think they moved to Brooklyn.
No, I think it's about being accountable. And I think that's interesting, EJ, that you're saying Tom Brady is weirdly not accountable now. Like, he's the most famous football player alive. And he has this ownership stake of the Raiders. You saw him last night in the coach's booth, 10 feet away from Chip Kelly, headset on, microphone on the headset. Like, he's definitely involved. Schrager says they talk 2 to 3 times a week. Then Pete Carroll weirdly had to deny that after the game. You know, it's like he doesn't have this accountability when it comes to that team, which is frustrating and weird, right?
Yeah, if you're a Raider fan and this thing goes bad, you're not going to be like, well, fire Tom Brady. You can't. And also, he doesn't really work for them technically, or he works for them in a very quote-unquote, you know, separated kind of way. He's not supposedly running the team, but it looks like he's running the team to me.
I mean, their GM is a teammate from Michigan.
Right. It looks like he's running the team. So, like, again, if he really wanted to do all this, which is fine, I'd say just be all in.
Yeah, just be John Elway.
Yeah, exactly. John Elway, we saw him in, like, he wasn't in the coach's box, but we saw him in the press box every time Tim Tebow was going on those miraculous rallies and stuff.
John Elway was vice president of football
operations.
He's the GM.
Yeah,
he was running the team. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, Tom Brady should do that.
Hmm. Yeah.
Nah. I mean,
but Elway was not a part owner, was he?
I don't think he had that.
That's a little new twist that we have to figure out. I don't think there are any part owners who are GMs, but maybe there are.
Well, there's one full owner who's definitely a general manager.
Yeah, Jerry.
Wow.
That guy.
Yeah, by name.
Michael Parson.
Also, Mike Brown's a GM too, I think, isn't he?
They have a general manager. I forgot who he is.
No, he's not general manager.
Or they have a, well, what is he? What's his
president? He's player personnel.
They didn't give him a general DM title.
Don't they have Katie Blackburn? She does something too.
Daughter, right? Daughter-in-law, I believe. Yeah.
888-710-4ISN. Speaking of the Bengals, Joe Burrow's injury, we got some more clarity on that. We've got updates for you, along with other NFL quarterbacks who are now going to be on the shelf. We've got it all for you next. Maggie Perloff Show.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Maggie Perloff Show. So Manny informs me in my ear that this is a Mexican song for Mexican Independence Day, but I'm looking at my calendar, Manny. It's not Cinco de Mayo.
All right, let's turn this guy's
microphone
off.
Explain to the people that Cinco de Mayo is not the Mexican Independence
Day. Yes, no, Cinco de Mayo is not Mexican Independence Day. It's just the day that Puebla celebrates because they fought off the French, or else I probably wouldn't say Me llamo Emmanuel. Je m'appelle Emmanuel is probably what I would say. But yeah,
still sounds better than the rest of us.
Today is the today's Mexican Independence Day, so. You know, happy Independence Day, Mexico.
I mean, you really celebrate fighting off the French. Is it that hard to fight off the French?
I mean, back in the day, you see, Pearl, back in the day, we only had sticks and stones, and the French had, you know, bullets and stuff.
Manny,
you raise your fist, the French go running for borders immediately.
What are you going to do to celebrate? Like, what's a traditional celebration for Mexican Independence Day?
Probably just drink some beers and kick back and, you know, just enjoy our Tuesday. It's Tuesday, Maggie. Like, there's nothing really going on. I mean, yesterday was El Grito, last night, where the Mexican president goes up on a balcony in the Zócalo and gives out, like, a battle cry that was uttered, you know, back in 1810 today.
Me Argentina style, that we're talking about, Evita?
Sure, maybe. I'm not familiar.
You guys do not know that play at all.
I'm not familiar with very
Evita.
Much.
No, but Claudia Sheinbaum, president of Mexico.
Correcto,
she went up there and did that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she did. She did it late last night, early this morning in Eastern Daylight Time. Yeah, but
could you do it for us?
I don't know it verbatim, but I mean, I could probably pull it up and let Claudia do her thing.
Okay, let's do it. Of course.
Happy Independence Day, Mexico.
Here you go. What else are we just talking about? Oh, we got some news, Pearl, from some of the great sports films of all time. One of them, The Natural.
What about it?
Well, it's starring Robert Redford, and we just got news that unfortunately Robert Redford has passed away.
Oh, no.
I know. Robert Redford, one of the original, just smoking, hot, handsome guys, and phenomenal actor.
Guy just died, and that's the first thing that you eulogize him with?
I think he would appreciate that.
Well, I mean,
actor and an activist and so many things, and great, great actor in so many great sports movies.
And, you know, created Sundance, which is a big, huge industry thing. Wow.
Oh, wow. This guy was a hunk.
Thank you, Manny. See? Now, here's the thing about my age, which is with Robert Redford. So I had to go back and watch a lot of the movies, obviously.
But you knew, like, Robert Redford, you knew the name.
I knew, but one of the first movies I ever saw him in, besides The Natural.
This guy's a fox.
Was not just All the President's Men, which they showed us in school, but Indecent Proposal.
Hmm.
And he was older in that movie.
I don't know if I like talking about movies with you guys.
Why?
You've never even seen him. EJ's never even seen Robert Redford. You're
not true.
I saw him in Indecent Proposal. Like, this is the star of Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid. Like, this guy is an icon.
I've actually seen two 1970s Robert Redford
movies. Oh, he was in Marvel.
Two of them.
Yes. Well, first of all, he's in Captain America, Winter Soldier. Yeah. Just respect on that. And I saw him in The Candidate. He's really good in that.
Oh, yeah. You saw The Candidate?
I saw The Candidate.
Wow. That is
by accident.
Shocking.
That happened.
It was a school thing.
Oh,
by accident. Assignment.
I saw it, though.
Whatever. Anyway, you see it. It was assignment for you to watch
awesome
All the President's
movie,
Men. I'm glad I did.
Kind of like how I watch All the President's Men. It was a school assignment.
Yeah, school assignment. But, you know, I mean, we're all here kind of doing journalism at one point in our lives.
I'll tell you my favorite. Has anyone seen 3 Days of the Condor?
No.
Oh, my God. It is a masterpiece, and he is incredible at it. It's been remade about 100 times now, but it's fantastic. I would go back and watch that one.
I'm sorry. How did he only win? He won one Oscar? That's impossible.
He won two Golden Globes though.
Okay.
Two Golden Globes. Though.
Yeah, he won. He won for Inside Daisy Clover and Ordinary People.
I've never heard of that. Oh, ordinary people.
Well, Inside Daisy Clover, he was new star of the year actor. Yes, I don't think that's an award they still have.
They have it at the Grammys. Like,
best new artist.
So he's basically the best new artist of 1965.
You know, now I feel like there's actually a lot of these Robert Redford movies that I want to go back and watch. Like, I've never seen Ordinary People, but I know that it's amazing. I've never seen Barefoot in the Park. There's a couple others.
Have you seen Butch Cassidy?
The Way We Were. I have seen Butch Cassidy.
That one is that's a big one.
And he was Jay Gatsby in The Great Gatsby movie.
Yes. I watched that too. See, I've watched Mad Robert Redford.
Mad Robert Redford.
Respect.
You saw Great Gatsby?
Yeah.
You saw Great and All the President's Men?
Yes.
And yet, you've never seen The Godfather?
Nope.
How are those three 70s movies in your wheelhouse and none of the other big ones?
We know EJ doesn't like mob movies.
Wait, true, yeah, that's true.
But Robert Redford was not in The Godfather.
The Great Gatsby, the Leonardo DiCaprio vehicle?
Trivia was originally in everybody's mind going to play Michael Corleone.
I could see it. And
also, I think he was going to play Michael Corleone. It was definitely going to be Dustin Hoffman's role in The Graduate, and that got all messed up for some reason.
Oh, that would have changed it so much,
the
though.
Book, because... In the book, The Graduate, it's a tall blonde, and that's why it was originally supposed to be Robert Redford. And something went awry. I know a lot. And The Natural, by the way, there are some people who don't like The Natural. I don't get that.
I don't love The Natural.
Yeah, a lot of my friends are like that, too.
Because it's a nitpick kind of thing? Like, something don't add up?
Too fantastical, maybe?
So, I think part of the problem was I didn't see it until after I was told a million times how good it was.
Okay.
So, it's a fine movie, but it is not my favorite baseball movie by any stretch.
Yeah, you're not alone, but yeah. I think it's iconic.
What's your favorite baseball movie?
Probably Bull Durham.
Oh. That's a good one.
Yeah.
How about Field of Dreams? Did you not like
I like
that?
Field of Dreams better than I like The Natural.
Yeah.
I'm the opposite.
Big fan of The Sandlot over here.
It's a great movie.
League of Their Own.
League of Their Own. Yes. Phenomenal. Great baseball movie.
Like, but all of those, to me, are better than The Natural.
I love The Natural. I know it's kind of cheesy when the home run goes out at the end, spoiler alert, and the lights go out. But
it came out in 1974.
'84.
Excuse me.
What a cast, too. I mean, I personally, when we were at Sports Illustrated, they did a lot of like movie lists. They put Bull Durham as the number one sports movie of all time.
Yeah.
I think Bull Durham's really good, but it's right there with The Natural and Field of Dreams. They're all about the same to me.
Yeah, Field of Dreams, watching it as a dad, makes it that much more.
Oh, don't get me started. I'm a sucker. Some people think, I'm sure you're as a cold-blooded killer that you are, Matt Gray, found Field of Dreams too schmaltzy.
Yeah.
Not enough death.
Little schmaltzy for me.
Dad wanted to have a catch. When I saw that in the theater as a kid in 1989, and I was definitely crying.
But I cry in almost every sports movie. I definitely cried in
Happy Space Gilmore.
Space Jam. I was a wreck.
2005 adaptation of The Longest Yard.
It was basketball that really got me. Ugh, that was hard. Caddyshack.
What sport? Oh, now I want to hear this. What sports movies did you cry?
I always cry at the same point in the movie Rudy.
Mm. Well, yeah, Rudy, of course. Rudy.
Right. And it's the point when, actually, it's kind of a dad moment, when the dad grabs the microphone and screams out to the whole factory, my kid's going to Notre Dame. I don't even like Notre Dame. The second is Cool Runnings, when they carry the bobsled across the finish line.
I've heard people cry at that movie.
Forget it.
It's a great movie.
I always cry at the end of League of Their Own. No, not the end. I cry when Betty Spaghetti's husband died.
Yeah. Yeah.
In World War II.
Not Betty. Not Mr. Spaghetti.
Manny, watch it. I challenge you. Watch it and try not to cry.
I cried during Hardball because, a five-year-old got shot and killed in that movie.
I cried when Mickey died in Rocky III. And then when Apollo died in Rocky IV, the tears.
He dies?
The only thing about Apollo dying, though, it's so early in the movie. I wasn't in it yet. I was like still eating popcorn.
It's like Julie Bowen dying in Happy Gilmore 2.
I was just about to bring that one up.
Yeah. But she did appear half naked throughout the movie and his fantasies, which was a plus. sorry.
Speaking of Robert Redford.
Apollo is my favorite. As much as I love Rocky, I was a massive Apollo Creed fan. So when he died, that killed me.
What other movie do you cry in? What other sports movie?
Dad won't have a catch. If you don't cry at that,
you're Maggie. Sorry. It's not a sports movie, but I was getting my hair cut yesterday, and the barber was playing Toy Story 2, and I was tearing up because I started thinking about Toy Story 3.
Were you sitting in an airplane? What kind of
I was in this house's crib.
If you want to do Toy Story 3,
a three-year-old and a two-year-old. What do you think they're going to play for the kids?
Well, I didn't know that's where you got your
haircut. EJ actually has a funny take about this guy. Can I say it on the air?
Yeah, I've said it on the air.
Okay.
Yeah, whatever he says, he's right.
No, not that. About the kids.
Oh, yeah. I feel like these kids have been 3 years old for 5 years.
I love Rod. Kind of baby
I love his kids, but I'm like, these kids are just... One of them was actually asleep. I was like, wow, this kid's actually asleep. I've never seen this one before. Mm. So then the other one just decided he was going to be double crazy to match the fact that the other kid was asleep. So he's just like throwing stuff and just yelling at the top of his lungs randomly. And I'm like, I feel like they should have been past the toddler phase a while ago. This feels long.
Imagine being in it.
Yeah, apparently it's still only like 2 and 3. So I'm like, how long is this going to go on?
EJ, if you want to see me cry in the break, than play a clip from Toy Story 3.
It is so sad.
The end of Toy Story, if you don't cry at that, then you were never a child.
Guys, back to Robert Redford, okay? Robert Redford passed away this morning.
No, it's the same thing. I'm looking at Hoosiers. Any crying scenes in that? No school this small?
When Ricky Bobby went on, had the invisible flames on him, I really cried on that scene.
Is there a cry in The Blind Side?
No.
No.
The only line I remember from Blind Side is when she thinks Nick Saban is a very handsome man.
But he said, I never had a bed before.
That movie, because of the lawsuit afterwards, where the main character sued the movie.
Doesn't matter. Rudy never even happened, and I still cry at that.
Remember the Titans when Bertier gets hit in the car accident, and then he goes into the hospital, and he's like, no, you don't see? That's my brother.
You just reminded me of another one, Brian's song.
That's the famous one.
I don't know how to think about that.
Boy, you must be outside your mind.
Anyway, Robert Redford.
Waterboy. Waterboy makes me shed a tear.
By the way, another, I hate to say this, but we lost another big sports figure recently. Yesterday, 2 days ago, Ricky Hatton, Hit Manhattan, also passed away. Very famous champion boxer from the UK. So, Bogues.
Hey, thanks, Maggie.
You want to take that?
After all this death, Andrew, go ahead. Houston Texans are 0-2. They could not run the football last night against the Buccaneers, but they still almost won, getting 10 fourth-quarter points off a blocked punt and a long punt return.
Hey-o.
Nick Chubb put them ahead by 5 with 2:10 left with a 25-yard run, but the defense couldn't prevent Baker Mayfield from driving for a winning TD with 6 seconds left. D'Amico Ryan's not overreacting after the 2019 bummer.
We lost two games we should have won, but to win games, you got to play better. You got to coach better. So it starts with me. I got to coach better. We got to play better. We got to execute better. You got to go win games. You're not just going to be given games, right? So we got to find a way to make those plays.
They definitely need more plays from C.J. Stroud, who hasn't matched his impressive rookie season over the last year plus. Stroud, 13 for 24, 207 yards and a TD last night. Mayfield threw for 2 scores before handing off to Rashad White for that winning TD.
So D'Amico Ryans basically said the same exact thing that Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel said on Sunday, and he's being lambasted for saying you got to win. McDaniel's like, well, the problem was we didn't win the game, and everyone was laughing, and then D'Amico Ryans says you got to win the game. It's better to win than lose.
Experience.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're allowed to string together all the cliches you want, but the McDaniel's delivery is what gets him the negative attention.
Yeah, basically same quote, but D'Amico's so much cooler than Mike McDaniel. Yeah. I think that's why.
Well, it's not just that. It's also your priors. Mike McDaniel's got a lot of weird...
Right, D'Amico's not insufferable yet.
D'Amico looks like he could put the helmet on and go hit some guys. That's why he could say anything he wants.
You should stand corrected.
Like Baker Mayfield, Justin Herbert has his team at 2-0 this morning.
Herbert has all day in the pocket, takes a shot downfield, 2 wide open, caught, Quinn Johnson, touchdown, Chargers, 60-yard touchdown, Herbert to Q.
Mad Money Smith, Chargers Radio. The LA defense, though, was the story in this one, holding the Raiders to just 218 yards, picking off Geno Smith 3 times. They also made 2 fourth-down stops in the fourth quarter to get to the finish line, but there is a big injury concern for the Chargers. Khalil Mack suffered a nasty elbow injury, making a tackle. He finished the game in a sling. And finally, not that anybody cares, but...
Bases loaded, 2 outs, the pitch. Swinging a bouncer to first. Harper gloves it, takes it himself, and the Phillies take the National League East Division crown.
Like it's hard. 6-5 win in 10 at Dodger Stadium. The Phils blew 3-1 run leads last night, then got JT Realmuto's tie-breaking sack fly. And then, as you heard, Max Muncy grounds out with the bases loaded to end the game and, again, clinch the NL East. 2 straight and 4 consecutive postseason berths for your Phils.
Have we done an update on the Maggie and Perloff Show home run derby lately?
We did, because Jordan Alvarez's ankle fell off last night, so I am definitely not going to win.
Yeah.
He just slipped on home plate.
Yeah.
His ankle bone was touching the earth. It was I can't believe that was a sprain.
I didn't see that. Ugh.
They called it a sprain. I thought it was broken.
All right, we'll update our home run derby because we don't have that much time left.
Harper and Schwarber went deep last night, but as best I can tell, Marcell Ozuna on the Braves is still playing but might be in a coma.
Matt Olson homered last night.
Oh, did he?
He did.
Marcell Ozuna has not hit a home run since August 13th, and he's played every day. What the heck is going on with this guy?
You said you picked Anthony Volpe? That's weird.
Bogus, thank you so much. We also forgot to mention, with Robert Redford passing away, the Sting, Pearl.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
With Paul Newman.
Newman, yeah.
Yeah, Paul Newman, Robert Redford together. That won 7 Oscars. That movie.
The Sting?
The Sting won 7 Oscars.
But it did win Best Picture, though, didn't it?
I don't know. Maggie and Perloff show, again, just got the news that Robert Redford passed away, which is sad. Coming up next, we will get to the bottom of that man, Mike McDaniel. What did he have to say about the banner that flew over the stadium saying, "Fire Mike McDaniel"? That's next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Next. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. EJ, we have some updates. Last segment, Pearl asked, what is the home run totals for the Maggie and Perloff Show Home Run Derby, which is coming to a close. We all picked and drafted 3 players at the beginning of the MLB season for our teams.
Yeah.
And how's it looking right now?
Okay, so coming up from the rear, you got Bogish at 56 home runs total.
Total. That's total.
Wow.
Total.
That's as many as Cal Raleigh basically has on the season.
Manny sits in fourth place with 87 home runs. Maggie's in third with 91. I am in second with 99. Perloff is in first with 100.
And I got nothing out of my third player.
So Perloff and EJ now down to the wire.
Yeah. EJ, you have Shohei? Or Judge?
I have Judge.
Oh, boy.
This is going to be tight because
I don't like that.
The problem is, you say you got nothing from your third player, but I have Fernando Tatis, only has 22. That was not a good pick.
That's interesting.
How many does the players on Bogus's team have?
Yeah, who's
Jordan
on your
Alvarez
team?
Alvarez has 6, and Gunnar Henderson has 16. So pretty much buried Bogus from the beginning. Alonso has 34, but not enough to. So this is a. I mean,
now it's EJ and Perloff neck and neck.
Yeah,
here.
I mean, Maggie, you're not like totally out of it, but I think 9 home runs is a lot to catch up.
It's a lot to ask for. How many days are left in the season?
Like maybe 13, 14.
Yeah, we have what, 3 series left, 4 series left?
Yeah. 99 to 100. This is going to be a dead heat.
Hey, don't count out the team with 87. Go Manny.
You know what I would like to see is Cal Raleigh or Kyle Schwarber get to 60. Like I thought we were going to get that this year. Maybe like a chasing Aaron Judge. Remember I kept talking about Cal Raleigh? We need some fireworks in the last week.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to get that. Well, some have, you know, you've had clinching scenarios and stuff like that. These wild cards are going to be exciting. So I'm into that. Meanwhile, let's talk about what happened in South Florida. Week 2, Miami Dolphins end up losing to the New England Patriots. Game was not really played very cleanly on either side, Pearl, but there was a plane flying a banner over the Miami Dolphins stadium saying, "Fire Greer, fire McDaniel." Do we think the airplane thing still works anymore? Do you think all
you
of a sudden?
What a waste of money. I mean, obviously, they're going to fire McDaniel.
If McDaniel's
just going to walk out and never, he wants out, right? Is that very clear?
Well, Manny, can we hear some Mike McDaniel, please? This is him yesterday saying he is not worried about his job security.
I think if I worry about my job security, I won't be doing my job.
I think that
inherently is against all things that I believe in. I've never felt entitled to any sort of I've never felt entitled to this position, and it's very important for me to spend all of my waking hours worrying about exactly how to do my job.
I mean, You'd have to lay it on that thick all of my waking hours.
He's messing with you. He's being ironic. Like, he does not really think all these things. He's just like,
the results are on the field.
He's like, well, I'm about to get fired. Can I say things at a press conference to make people think like I take this process seriously? He obviously, like, everything he says is with a wink now, I believe. Like, he cannot be that earnest of a human being.
Heads were another day closer to death.
Mike McDaniel also said yesterday he was not aware that the crowd was chanting "Fire McDaniel" during the game.
I was coaching and calling a football game, so yeah, I wasn't spending my time considering what the fans were doing at all.
I mean, considering this is someone who hit a vape once on the sideline, clearly you can multitask. So this is going to be an interesting one, not to fast forward it, but it kind of feels like, obviously, he's a little dead man walking.
Great team, morning, let's go.
You know, at least, like, they got down two touchdowns early in the game against the Patriots. To their credit, they did battle back. You know, Tua doesn't look right. That's for sure. Tyreek Hill definitely has to be, you know.
Tua looked right yesterday. I mean, Sunday.
Missing throws, though. Missing a wide-open Tyreek Hill. His stat line was good, but he's still missing, guys.
He couldn't make that throw. Yeah, no, I mean, Tua was, after that first couple series, like, he was pretty spot on.
Listen, there's a lot of places you can put blame here. Yeah. You know, you can put blame on Tua maybe more in the week one opener against Indianapolis, where he was particularly bad. Maybe he looked a little more like his old self week two, but maybe it's more about the GM. Maybe it is about the coach. Bottom line is, a lot of things are wrong in Miami. Here's the one question. So you have the Thursday night game against the Bills in Buffalo. They're 12.5-point underdogs. This has got to be it, right? Isn't this the kitchen sink game?
Nah.
You beat Buffalo in Buffalo, which may be a little bit of a resting opportunity here for the Bills. Josh Allen with a broken nose on short rest. Like, if you actually win this game, you probably save your job for the season. If you lose badly, now this is a you get fired on Friday type of thing, right?
That does make sense with the 10 days in between. But they do, you know, one thing you could argue, if they play well and lose by, say, 10, then you got the Jets and the Panthers, who have been two of the, you know, 2-0-2 teams that maybe Mike McDaniel can get to 2-3 after that. I mean, I think actually the kitchen sink game should have been the last game. Like, that, he needed to beat the Patriots in Miami. Mm. That was really the beginning of the death. They'll probably get killed by Buffalo, but they could win those next two games. They're good enough.
Flip side, if a new coach comes in,
you get the bump. That's
those
what,
are the new coach bump against two winnable opponents.
If you're the owner, what do you want? Do you want Mike McDaniel to win those games, or do you want the new coach? Because you don't want the new coach to be too good, because then you have to hire him.
Do you?
Not really, but you might be tempted.
Coming up next, we got some quarterback injuries to update you on, and what did we see last night in a Monday night doubleheader?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.